All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode 158, maybe?
Yes.
Maybe 158. Getting up there. It is Wednesday, November 2nd, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And yeah, we haven't put out an episode in quite some time, Deborah, it feels like. I think the last episode we did was M.R. Gorga.
Yes.
And I've been kind of slacking a little bit. We've had some show cancellations and all that. So I figured maybe you and I could just get together and we could look at some of the headlines, because we don't need to be talking about crazy conspiracy theories, because the world around us is the craziest that it's ever been.
Yes, it is.
And we can just look at headlines and what's going on in our own areas, everything. And it's wild. If you know, 3 years ago we were doing this show and we would have brought these up as possible conspiracies, we wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah.
So this is Headlines with Deborah.
I like it.
I got a bell. It's gonna revolutionize the show. Emily's over in the other room. Say yell hello, Emily. Says hello to all our fans.
Love it.
So what's been going on with you? Oh, let's do some business first.
Okay.
We are a value for value show, guys. So anything that you can give to us is appreciated. Time, talent, treasure in the form of monetary value. We need some new theme songs. I need some presents for my animals for Christmas, all sorts of things. Whatever you want to contribute to the show, all the resources on how to do that are in the show notes. And we are brought to you by Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange from Branson, Missouri. Our good friend Tony Arterburn and Kinsey are running it over there, and we have an affiliate link. I don't know if anyone's used it yet. If you're going to be the first, email us and let us know, and we'll shout you out on the air. So our link is deborahgetsredpilled.gold, and that will send you to Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. And if you buy something, we'll get a little kickback from it. So over there at the Wise Wolf, they're doing this thing called, you can call them directly, talk to Tony or Kinsey, and they'll set you up. And they're also doing this thing called called the Wolf Pack. So if you go there and you on the website from our affiliate link, you click on the Wolf Pack, it's like a monthly subscription based deal, and it starts at $50 a month, and then you can go up from there to different tiers up to 500, and I don't know, maybe more if you want to do something that's custom with Tony there. But what they'll do is they'll take that money, and every month you'll get high quality, tested and guaranteed precious metals delivered directly to your door automatically. Each membership gives you an exclusive podcast, a newsletter, and discount gold and silver shopping cart. That's just for members only. So get in there, use our link, and get on the Wolf Pack. There's other ways to do stuff there too. I think you can buy crypto and all sorts. You can buy gold and silver and all that precious metals one time if that's all you want also. So go support the guys that support us. Tony's an awesome dude. He's doing the Arterburn radio transmission and Paratruther. He fills in for David Knight. He goes on InfoWars. He's an all-around great guy, past guest of the show. And so, yeah. That's the business, I think, Deborah.
Okay.
What's been going on with you?
Went into the city today.
Oh, how is that?
I didn't go into the deep dive into the city. I stayed around the North Beach, actually Fisherman's Wharf area.
Huh. That is an area of town that is normally reserved for tourists.
Yes, it is. And it was quiet today. Yeah. No tourists.
Yeah.
Of course, it had rained earlier. And so maybe that scared them off. But
yeah, I remember I went down there once in late October with my dad when I was a little kid. We lived up here, but we went down to Oakland for the World Series when the A's lost to the Dodgers in 1988. And right before we came back, I remember he took me over to Fisherman's Wharf and walked around over there. I think, when I lived in the Bay Area as an adult, we'd go over like one time a year, maybe go eat some clam chowder or something like that. But yeah, it's a strange part of town when you're
It
used
is.
to the regular part of the city. So
Yeah. And it's an area that I hardly ever, I mean, I don't know the last time I was in that area, but
yeah.
I met a friend for lunch and walked
Where'd you
around a little
go?
bit. Skomas.
Skomas? I was gonna say Skomas. That place is fantastic. I used to
Yeah.
love that place as a little kid. I'd get to go there for my birthday when we'd come down to visit my grandparents in the East Bay. We'd go to the city, we'd go over there, and I'd get to go there for lunch. My grandpa was an old, Guido guy, so he had some history with that restaurant, knew like the maitre d' or something like
Cool.
that, so,
Yeah.
but it was like the real deal Italian restaurant over there. And
Yeah.
I'd get linguine with con vongole, I think, with octopus or
Clam.
clams.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
vongole is clams, and so I love that place.
Guess what I had?
Linguine with clams.
Tomato soup.
Oh, huh, an Italian classic.
Was quite good.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Hit the spot.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just super busy up here on the farm, getting ready for the winter. It's wet every day, but it's not too bad. It's not super cold yet, down the 40s and low 50s. So just taking care of the pigs and the sheep and burning piles. So I got piles all over the big, huge burn piles all over the property. So the burn ban finally got lifted. So I've been taking care of those and
What are you
cleaning
burning?
just old wood.
Stuff that was left behind, or?
I mean, it's nice out here. You can have a burn pile and burn like all your old cardboard and wood that you're not using anymore. But then down by the creek, I cleaned it all up. There was like a bunch of downed trees and stuff down
Oh,
there. And during the
wow.
summertime, I made a huge pile and I burned that the other day. And then yeah, just trimming trees and all sorts of stuff. So yeah. I was out there. Pigward, the little guy, the little pig, the boy, he escaped out of the fence the other day. So I had to chase him down. He's being a bad boy,
Where'd he go?
he just like ran off towards the fifth wheel. And then I opened up the gate to try to get him back in, and then Eleanor ran out too, so I had to catch both of them.
Oh,
But they're really easy to catch. You just get a bowl full of food and they'll run after you. They're pretty fast. Eleanor does like zoomies out there a couple times
my
a day. I'll look
God.
out there and she'll just be racing around by herself.
Happy girl.
Yeah, I really like those guys. I might like them more than my sheep. They're fantastic little animals.
Emily said you might even like them more than the dogs.
I don't like them more than the dogs, but I do like them a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, so that and then we tore out these two exterior walls of the house and got them reframed, and it was a whole ordeal. Like as soon as it started pouring rain, we decided to pay somebody to tear out the outside walls of our house and reframe them. And I got them all covered up with new OSB boards, and I'm in the process of putting house wrap up. And then after that, I'm going to put up some new siding over them. So I don't know if it'll be done by the time you guys get here, but hopefully it'll be getting closer. So
Cool.
it was a lot of work. I didn't do it. I don't know. Framing and stuff like that, I can usually figure most stuff out, but I figured since it's like exterior load-bearing walls, maybe it was better to pay some guy that knows what he's doing to do it. And like all the wood was rotten, like
Ooh.
everything, he had to tear everything out down to the foundation to be able to put in new new walls. So yeah, I'm really excited to have that done. And but yeah, we didn't have walls on the house for four or five days, something like that. But
you feel a difference in the temperature?
I taped off, there's a door, like an a door that does there's an a door opening that doesn't have a door on it. So I was able to just tape it off with plastic, and I got it real good. So it did a pretty good job. And it's not like that cold that I notice a difference. So
yeah, good.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what's going on the homestead. Chickens are doing good, laying eggs. Finally, I started fermenting
good.
Fermenting their food. And I think that made a big difference. So
the new guys are already.
Yeah, I'm getting up to seven, so in between 5 and 7 eggs a day out of 15 hens. So that's not bad for now. They all start slowing down a little bit when the weather changes. And then some of these were like young and maybe haven't started yet. And then we kept 2 old ones when we got rid of the old ones. We kept 2 of them. And I don't think those ones are laying. So
they're pets now.
Yeah, they kind of earned their spot. I think maybe come springtime, they'll start laying again. I think they might have a little bit left in them. But yeah, if we get one of them lays blue eggs. So as soon as we see a blue egg, we're going to put it in an incubator and try to hatch eggs from them. So, but yeah, that's everything that's going on the homestead. So
well, not too much going on around my homestead.
Yeah. When you're going to be here for Thanksgiving, right?
Right.
How long are you going to be here for?
We have an Airbnb for a week.
So you're getting here on like Thursday before Thanksgiving or what?
I can tell you exactly. I'm going to get there on the 21st. It's a Monday. And then you and I have something on the calendar on the 22nd.
Yeah, so you'll be able to do it in studio. That's with Cosmic Peach Julia. We got a fun one. We're going to be talking about the Yuba County 5.
On the 22nd.
Yeah. Got a bunch of good stuff on the books, guys. Yeah, sorry for a lack of content. I've been a little bit burnt out lately. So you know how that goes.
We all do.
I feel pretty good about what's going on. We got some good stuff on the books. I've gone out of my way, Deborah, to book some shows with females. And I want you to do your best to talk when they come on. We're gonna be talking about guns. We're gonna be talking about feminism. We're gonna be talking about women and religion, all sorts of stuff like that. So it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
I booked these ones because I want you to identify more with a female guest. So and then you know you're gonna have different opinions than these people.
Yes, I am.
But we're not gonna have like a big debate, but we're gonna have differing opinions and questions and things like that. So
yeah. I'm comfortable with asking questions and learning and
Fantastic.
I'll do my best.
So Deborah, I went on Battle of the Douchebags Part 8 on the Abs in a Six Pack podcast. I brought my, it's like a tournament. So there's 4 guests. It was Midnight Mike from OBDM, Tom Starkweather, who is a guy who does a bunch of stuff for No Agenda. And then this other English guy, Guof, who does a bunch of stuff for No Agenda also. We each brought 2 douchebags. I chose Don Pettit from NASA and Malcolm Nance. Are you familiar with him?
No, sorry.
You would know him if you, do you ever watch Joy Reid?
Yeah.
Okay. He's like this, he's MSNBC's like ex-retired CIA intelligence guy. It's who they go to for that, even though he's a total phony. He's like the biggest douchebag in the world. But, and I, both my guys, and then so you take all, each person has 2 douchebags, and then they set up like brackets, like a tournament, you know, and and then you present, you put a clip up, you bring 3 clips three sound clips for each of your douchebag. And like, so my first one was Don Pettit versus this guy. I can't remember his name, but he's like the producer of the Thor movies. And then, so you put like a clip up, and he puts a clip up, and then the fans can go online and vote. And I lost in the first round of both of them. I got totally rocked. Huh. It was a travesty.
Well, who were you up against? What douchebags were?
Don Pettit versus the thing of the guy from Thor.
Okay.
And then in my second round, I was up Malcolm Nance versus Kathy Hochul from the New York governor.
So
she ended up winning the championship. I don't know. It was her and Howard Stern in the final, and she won the championship. So, but my clips were so much better. I mean, Kathy Hochul is definitely a douchebag, but she's not any more douchey than like Kate Brown or Gavin Newsom or Jay Inslee or Gretchen Whitmore or any of these, you know, governors who ruined states the last few years. So I was pretty upset that I lost. I don't know. I especially the Malcolm Nance. He is a huge douchebag, but I lost that one. But so anyway, long story short, what happened was I had all these clips saved on, I went into YouTube and you can like find clips, and I had them all saved, and I was going to go in later and record them and do all this stuff and put them into a file. A couple days before the show, I'm like, okay, I was really putting it off. I got to go in and do this. I go and I try to get into my YouTube and it won't let me in. It's like, you're signed out of your account. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll try to sign back in. I try to sign in, use my fingerprint and stuff. And it's like, we need to send you a confirmation to your phone or whatever, you know, the two system thing where they make you like do it that way. You get a text on your phone with a code. I try to put it in and there's nothing. It won't let me in. And it's like, you know, so I keep trying. And then I'm like, wait a minute, maybe our page is gone. Our page got taken down. We're nuked. So I send a picture. I send a screenshot to my sister who works for YouTube. And I say, does this mean my page is gone forever? And she's like, let me check with, you know, whatever that team. I know the guy who runs that team. And she's like, yeah, it's gone.
You know, when you mentioned this, I don't know, maybe it was the last time we were recording, I went and looked, and there are like maybe a handful of Deborah Gets Red Pilled on there.
But it's probably from other people.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But our page that had, because I hadn't, and the funny thing is I hadn't been putting episodes up for probably like 2 or 3 months because mm-hmm. We weren't getting any traffic on there, and it was just a bunch of effort we weren't getting any new subscribers. We were heavily shadow banned. And so what happened was the algorithm, like it wasn't like I put up one episode, it got a strike. And then they went in and checked a bunch of other stuff. It was just like somehow the algorithm like found that we had no episodes. And I think I had one strike the last time I looked. And then they must have gone back in time and found stuff that was, you know, what they call probably medical misinformation, uh-huh. which was what they were saying. Medical misinformation is stuff that wasn't true in 2020 that's totally proven true now. They'll still right. kick you off for that. And so I don't even know what happened, you know, but we're gone off YouTube forever. So
okay.
Yeah.
Cry and shame, because people would really love to see Cubby.
Yeah. If anybody wants to go see our older shows that when I was still putting stuff up, they're all up on Odyssey. And I've got everything saved, so it's not like we lost it and it's gone forever, you know. We mm-hmm. I have like every Zoom meeting we've ever done. So
did Amy confirm that?
I asked her if she could help me out. She was just like, let me check if I can, and then, you know, never heard back. So I don't think she wants her coworkers to know that she has a dissident you know no guy as her family member. So, but who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't blame her. But yeah, it's just I've been doing a lot of other shows with I got to go on Infinite Fringe with Billy Ray Valentine. I've been going on Jack Allen's podcast a lot, and we've been talking about Alex Jones and censorship and stuff like that. And this Alex Jones ruling, like, it went from $1 billion to $1 trillion or something like that. It's insane. And it's just meant to intimidate people like us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say it would be a lie if I said I'm not a little worried about it. Not so much that, you know, we get sued or something, but just that you know, we hear people talk a lot about, remember when YouTube was so great, the Wild West in 2011. So what, there was all these conspiracy videos on YouTube. Nothing was censored. And so do you remember the first time that you used YouTube?
No, I don't. Because
you used to go on there and you would click a video, and then like on the side, there'd be a sidebar of suggested videos that you would get to from that. And people would just go from video to video and keep going down and down and down and down. And then they stopped that, you know? And now, like, everything you see on YouTube between an ad every 5 minutes is like all the news is either, you know, it's just Fox News and MSNBC.
Huh. Yeah, I guess I haven't been on there much.
Yeah, but what people say is like, oh, remember when YouTube was like a free speech platform and da, da,
yeah.
What scares me is that in a couple of years, are we going to be saying, remember when we could say whatever we wanted on podcasts?
Because I'll get funneled down to
how much different is YouTube than Apple Podcasts, you know? Uh-huh. Like, why wouldn't Apple Podcasts start banning people?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got Elon Musk buying Twitter.
And so. I just saw a headline. I don't quote me on anything, but a lot of celebs are bailing on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't really know. They're just against the free speech aspect.
Well, I think they're against the hate speech. Is for this particular group? That's their claim.
Yeah,
that there was like a 500% uptick in the N-word.
Yeah, because people are testing it out. Yeah, people are just writing it on there. Don Jeffries wrote, okay, I'm doing a test. Sandy Hook. You know, it's all stuff we should be able to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know. The world is, I can't make sense of it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Have you, so I've got one big article I want to read and kind of go over online. Are you familiar with the magazine The Atlantic?
I'm familiar with it. It's not something I see all over the place.
What is your interpretation of what The Atlantic is and who it caters to?
Oh, God, I can't. When I used to go to the doctor's office, it was in the doctor's office, and I'd pick it up and look at it, and it had, you know, some interesting articles. I don't think it was strictly political stuff. I think there was more, I don't know, social issues. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not that, which are political issues, but I'm not that familiar with it either. But I would be willing to guess that it's a magazine that appeals to the upper crust of the intelligentsia, which is probably always going to be, you know, skewed to the left.
Uh-huh.
Its own, I looked it up just on, I wanted to see what like the Wikipedia definition of it was before we read this thing, but it's owned by Lauren Jobs, who is the widow of Steve Jobs.
Not always, I don't think.
Since 2017.
Okay. Because it's been around prior to that, but anyhow.
Yeah, but businesses change hands all the time.
Yeah.
So it's probably not owned by the original owner because that guy's probably dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they published an article that has, I think, really backfired on them.
Huh.
And it's all over my social media feed. And it is an article in The Atlantic under the ideas category. And it says, let's declare a pandemic amnesty. We need to forgive one another for what we did and said when we were in the dark about COVID, by Emily Oster. So what we've seen in the past month, 2 months, is all these people who got everything wrong, you know, blamed it on everybody who wasn't wrong, called us Nazis, called us people that wanted to kill grandma, say, oh, you just want to go get a haircut, you want to go eat hamburgers, you're white power, you're a Trumpist, all this stuff like that, you know? And now these people want to be let off the hook. I got it, you know, most people aren't going to say anything. Most people will probably stick to the arguments that they had 2 years ago about it. They'll say like, oh, you know, we needed to be vaccinated. It works, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's, but for people like me, you know, who didn't do it, didn't want to take the medicine, was at risk of losing my job, you know, and, you know, got kicked out of restaurants, was excluded from society, all this stuff like that. It's, do you think we should just let people off the hook that, you know, promoted our exclusion from society?
Well, I don't know what recourse there is, but it seems like there should be more conversation, more
well, let's read the article, then we can go into it. Okay, we can stop me at any time if you want to make a point.
Okay.
In April 20, okay, so this is Let's Declare a Pandemic Amnesty by Emily Oster. In April 2020, with nothing else to do, my family took an enormous number of hikes. We all wore cloth masks that I had made myself. We had a family hand signal, which the person in front would use if someone was approaching on the trail and we needed to put on our masks. Because, you know, outdoor transmission.
Outdoors, yeah.
Outdoor transmission was such a huge threat. Once, when another child got too close to my then 4-year-old son on a bridge, he yelled at her, "Social distancing." Wonder how he learned that, you know? Wonder who he got that from. These precautions were totally misguided. Yeah, no shit. In April 2020, no one got the coronavirus from passing someone else hiking. Outdoor transmission was vanishingly rare. Our cloth masks made out of old bandanas wouldn't have done anything anyway. But the thing is, we didn't know. But in April 2020, I knew that that didn't do anything.
I think people were, at that time, you know, there was so much misinformation. People were scared.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, still, I don't think that that excuses anyone for mistreating other people who were right, especially if you were wrong.
Uh-huh.
And if you listen to this article, there's not an apology.
Okay. So, all right.
I have been reflecting on this lack of knowledge thanks to a class I'm co-teaching at Brown University on COVID. So Brown University, that's a prestigious institute. I would not be eligible to be accepted there based on my high school transcript. I'm a lowly working class I just graduated from a state university, but I was smart enough to realize that a mask that, you can get smoke through doesn't protect you against COVID-19. And all these studies were out there, Deborah. They were there. There was all sorts of doctors who are silenced, who are still being silenced, who are telling the truth. They were being silenced. It wasn't the other way around, So the information was there. It was people that didn't have the balls to look at the other information and realize that maybe Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx, Rochelle Walensky, that Asian lady who was at the Boston bombing, maybe they weren't the right ones to be looking at. Maybe there was another side, but they didn't want that because they knew if they did that, they didn't have the balls to look anywhere else because they knew if they did, they'd get the same treatment that I got. Okay, some of these choices turned out better than others. To take an example close to my own work, there is an emerging, if not universal, consensus that schools in the US were closed for too long. The health risks of in-school spread were relatively low, whereas the costs to students' well-being and educational progress were high. The latest figures on learning loss are alarming, but in spring and summer of 2020, we had only glimmers of information. Reasonable people who cared about children and teachers, advocated on both sides of the reopening debate. Another example, when the vaccines came out, we lacked definitive. Oh, okay. Well, one study that's just come out from a Stanford scientist has showed that 3 out of 1 million children die from COVID.
Oh my God.
And that's not, that's not excluding children with comorbidities.
Right.
Another example, when the vaccines came out, we lacked definitive data on relative efficacies of the Johnson and Johnson shot versus the mRNA options from Pfizer and Moderna. The mRNA vaccines have won out, but at the time, many people in public health were either neutral or expressed a J&J preference. So what was the deal with J&J? It's a dud. It just doesn't do anything.
I don't know. I know it was a one shot instead of, having to have
Yeah, it's the
two.
one that they gave to black people that they had in the black neighborhoods when they first started. But even though that one doesn't do anything, it still worked to get into a restaurant
Yeah.
or, someplace like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. You were covered if you had it.
The misstep wasn't nefarious. It was a result of uncertainty. Obviously, some people intended to mislead and made wildly irresistible claims. But she's saying that that's only on people that would be, say, on the side that I was coming from, without any idea that that could have been from the other side, like
Wait,
doctors.
say that sentence again.
Obviously, some people intended to mislead and made wildly irresponsible claims. I'd say that's Anthony Fauci.
Irresponsible claims, yeah.
Yeah. Remember when the public health community had to spend a lot of time and resources urging Americans not to inject themselves with bleach? Okay, that never happened. That was bad. Misinformation was and remains a huge problem. But most errors were made by people who are working in earnest for the good of society. That's utter bullshit. That
That
is.
there, she's making an excusing Fauci and
The fact that they're working for the good of society and not the good of big pharma,
yeah.
Amazon, Walmart, everybody that the hugest wealth transfer in the history of the world, and just to not even to think that there was nothing going on except people trying to do good is just dumb. It's dumb. It's a dumb way to think. Given the amount of uncertainty, almost every position was taken on every topic. And on every topic, someone was eventually proved right and someone else was proved wrong. But only one side, okay, this isn't the article, but only one side was being censored.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
in some instances, the right people were right for the wrong reasons. I don't. So she's saying that we weren't smart enough to be right because we'd read documents, listened to other doctors, anything like that. Like it was just luck. Like that's what that Scott Adams guy says, the guy that makes Dilbert. He's a insane follow on Twitter because he was like pro mask, pro vaccine, everything. And then like came out and was like, oh, none of this was right. The only people that, and he's still like, say he'll say, he says, the reason that I thought that is because I'm smarter than you. Like talking to people that didn't think that. It's like, I could read the data that was given out better than you. You're dumb. That's why you are right, is like what he's saying, you know.
What's that guy's name?
Scott Adams. He was a former contestant on Battle of the Douchebags as well. But he like he just had like a meltdown the last couple of years, like about this stuff, and he'll like getting these like giant Twitter fights with people about it. And it's hilarious. For the wrong word. In other instances, they had a prescient understanding of the available information. The people who got it right for whatever reason may want to gloat. Those who got it wrong for whatever reason may feel defensive and retrench into a position that doesn't accord with the facts. All of this gloating and defensiveness continues to gobble up a lot of social energy and to drive the culture wars, especially on the internet. These discussions are heated, unpleasant, and ultimately unproductive. In the face of so much uncertainty, getting something right had a hefty element of luck. So that's, you know, that's just saying we're only lucky. You know, there wasn't the Great Barrington Declaration with all these, you know, thousands of doctors who signed stuff saying that this is all wrong. You know, there wasn't those doctors who were saying that, you know, if we put people on ventilators, they're all going to die. There wasn't people saying that we have, you know, alternative treatments, you know, early treatments like horse paste and hydroxychloroquine, you know, all this stuff like that, nasal rinse, the McCullough protocol. Peter McCullough just got his medical license revoked. So, and similarly, getting something wrong wasn't a moral failing. Treating pandemic choices as a scorecard on which some people racked up more points than others is preventing us from moving forward. We have to put these aside and declare a pandemic amnesty. We can leave out the willful purveyors of actual misinformation while forgiving the hard calls that people had no choice but to make with imperfect knowledge. Los Angeles County closed its beaches in the summer of 2020. Ex post facto, this makes no more sense than my family's masked hiking trips. But we need to learn from our mistakes. This lady sucks so bad.
She's she really hasn't said anything so far other than that, you know, we did it for the right reasons and you other people are just lucky that we were wrong and you were right.
Yeah. Like you're Nazis and you got it right this time because you're dumb and you didn't follow the science. We didn't follow the science. So, okay, but we need to learn from our mistakes and then let them go. We need to forgive the attacks too, because I thought schools should reopen and I argued that kids as a group were not at high risk. I was called a teacher killer as a genocidaire. It's like, I guess that's what you get called when you hang out with rich white people. You are a genocidaire. Have you heard that one yet?
No, I haven't, but I'm assuming it means like you're pro-genocide.
For the French version. It wasn't pleasant, but feelings were high, and I certainly don't need to dissect and rehash that time for the rest of my days. So that was her one experience with being labeled something when, you know, a lot of people were labeled stuff. I was never labeled that, but I was labeled, you know, white power, Nazi, stuff like that. You're racist if you don't wear a mask, things like that. Moving on is crucial now because the pandemic created many problems that we still need to solve. The pandemic didn't create the problems.
The people.
The lockdowns created the problems, which were created by people. So this is where she gets extra dumb. Student test scores have shown historic declines, more so in math and reading, and more so for students who are disadvantaged at start. I can't believe she didn't mention other races for that. We need to collect data, experiment, and invest. Is high dosage tutoring more or less cost effective than extended school years? Why have some states recovered faster than others? Because they didn't do the same shit, you know? Because some states like Florida or, you know, Texas didn't keep their kids masked in school until late March, like my state did, you know? That's why. And she can't look at that, and she can't be honest about it, because that would, she might get called a genocidaire again. She might not be invited to the next, you know, $5,000 a plate dinner next time Grandpa Joe comes to town, you know, something like that. We should focus on questions like these, because answering them is how we will help our children recover. Many people have neglected their health care over the past several years. Okay, this is where it gets really dumb. Notably, routine vaccination rates for children for measles, pertussis, etc., are way down. Rather than debating the hole that messaging about COVID vaccines had in this decline, we need to put all our energy into bringing these rates back up. Pediatricians and public health officials will need to work together on community outreach, and politicians will need to consider school mandates.
Oh my God.
So she hasn't learned. She's already talking about mandates again. So what she's saying that we need, she needs to be forgiven for, she's promoting already. This is insane, Deborah. Is this crazy to you when we break it down like this?
Yeah.
And this is like like I said, the intelligentsia class. This is the University of Chicago, you know? What do you think University of Chicago costs a year? What do you think it costs to go get your kids taught by this person? 80 grand a year, something like that?
Yeah.
And it's probably on, she probably makes people wear masks in her class, you know? Okay, the standard, and so she's, and then she's not even like thinking like, well, maybe people are questioning all these other vaccines
because
they saw this, the COVID vaccine, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know. It's hard for me to think if these people are just all the way not telling the truth and they can rationalize it in their heads, or if they're really that dense and can't figure it out. What, they're so arrogant that they can't.
Yeah, I think it's both. I think it's just insane to not, you know, put one and one together and get two. I mean, although she's not really saying that the vaccine wasn't helpful. She's not really saying that.
She's not saying that it was or wasn't. She's not promoting it.
She's not saying that the vaccine was a mistake.
Yeah, right. Right, right. She's not saying that. Yeah, it's just frustrating. She just chalks it up to innocence and people trying to do the best without information. Okay, so the standard saying is that those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. We just talked about that. But dwelling on the mistakes of history can lead to repetitive doom loop as well. Let's acknowledge that we made complicated choices in the face of deep uncertainty, and then try to work together to build back and move forward. Emily Oster is an economist at Brown University. So she's an economist. Like, she should know what happens, but they teach is Keynesian economics at college, which is wrong. It's not the right economics. And so, you know, an economist should be the person that realizes, hey, if we shut down society for 2 years, we're in for some rough times ahead. And it's just like, everything is related. We talk about it all the time, Deborah, you know, reactions move down, or actions move down the line and have all these other things that maybe you didn't intend to have happen. I think a lot of people did intend to make stuff like this happen. But, you know, like it's plausible to say that what's going on in Ukraine is a result of, you know, the pandemic, lockdowns, when you move everything down the line and all the supply chain stuff and oil and all this stuff like that. So yeah, that's frustrating. And I don't give anybody amnesty. I'd like apologies from everybody. I'd like the people that advocated for, you know, me to not be able to be part of a society for 2 years. I'd advocate that they get that treatment for 2 years and then we're good, you know, but it's never going to happen. No, nobody's going to apologize. Nobody's going to say anything. And, you know, I think maybe there were some people that are scared. I think most people weren't scared. I think most people wanted to rule over other people and be bad to other people that they viewed as less than them. And I think that it showed so quickly how fast that people in society will do that and will low level people with no power, as soon as given a little bit of it, will try to express that power to the ultimate, you know, length that they can take it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy that you actually listened to the Martyr Made podcast, episode number 19, The Anti-Humans. Guys, this is the best podcast I've listened to maybe in my life.
It's what just popped up in my head when you said that, you know, give people who have no power a little bit of power. You know, some of the Jews that were released from camps at one point were given positions of power in the where they sent Nazis to the camps where they and how they brutalized.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame them for that, you know.
Is that human nature? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's hard to say, and we all want to think that we wouldn't have done that stuff. Say during Nazi Germany, you know, but that was a lot of the arguments that they were making aren't that far off from the arguments that were like, there was when it got pretty bad there at the end, like before we came out of it and mask mandates got lifted and stuff, like Jimmy Kimmel was advocating for unvaccinated people to not be able to go to hospitals.
Oh my God.
You know, and getting huge laughter out of his crowd from it. Like there's, and then I send you these clips of like Bill de Blasio eating a hamburger, telling us, oh, and you get the fries too if you get vaccinated, you know, like that's like a year old, Deborah. It's so crazy that all this stuff didn't, like, imagine what people are gonna say in 50 years when they see all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyways, guys, this podcast, Martyr Made, and the episode is episode 19, The Anti-Humans. And it is so horrific. It is it's about communist Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution and the atrocities that they perpetuated upon the world. And it's bad, you know. And, you know, we've talked about this before. It's not like it's totally acceptable to call yourself a communist nowadays, or walk down the street you could walk down the street with a shirt with Stalin on it or Lenin, any of these guys. And they killed millions and millions and millions of their own people.
Of their own people, starved them.
You know, it really hit me hard because I've been going to Orthodox Church and just what they did to, you know, when they talked about killing all the Christians,
all the priests,
that's who they're talking about, Orthodox Christians, you know, and it's what they did to them. And then they just like crucified people and all the rape and everything like that, and just what they did to the German people after World War II. I mean, it's not like they were doing it to just the Nazi guards. It was just, peasants out in the country, and it was just horrible. And I'm not making the case that you should be able to walk down the street, that it should be acceptable to call yourself a Nazi or walk down the street as a with a Nazi flag. I think that's despicable too, but it's so wild to see that, our institutions of, that woman who we just read that article by, I guarantee you she claims to be some sort of Marxist, some sort of neo-Marxist, something like that, and that's communism is it leads to genocide and starvation in every case that it's been implemented, and it's dark and evil. And so this podcast is like 4 hours long. You get 3 hours in and you're like, man, I've had enough. The guy kind of stops and takes a break and starts talking again about some stuff, and then he says, okay, you think you're kind of out of the woods, and then he goes into Romania and what they
And the students.
did there to the students. And it's more, that is more horrific than any horror movie I've ever seen, or that's worse than anything that came out of Wes Craven's mind. Like it is
Just
so.
to break people, not for any gain,
Yeah,
just
just to see
to
what it would
see
take.
if they could break them.
Yeah, so at the time in Romania, which was being run by the communists, they were being opposed by this large faction of student demonstrators, right? And these it's a little bit weird when you think about it, because they're not like your typical modern day like leftist student, protesters. They were the children of the middle class, lower middle class and peasantry, and they were extremely Christian. They were really, really pro, they're very religious. And so they took them, and the ones that didn't break are the ones that they wanted. If they could break you during the initial stages of torture, they just sent you off to a work camp. And either, worked you to death or kept you there for however long until you were released. The ones that didn't break are the ones they wanted, and they put them into this program, and it is the darkest, most horrific thing. It really affected me badly. I'm gonna listen to it again because I want to like kind of understand the history and the timeline a little bit more. But I had some bad dreams
Oh boy,
because of it. Like it really, really got to me. And it just.
It's unbelievable what a human being can do to another.
Yeah.
I mean, it all that's nothing new. We know this, but it's the depth of their depravity and inhumanity.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that podcast was a horrific, horrible work of art. Like, I think it's fantastic. I'd love to be able to talk to that guy someday. He was just on Pete Quinones' show talking about making like a not conspiracy theorist case for the veracity of Pizzagate, and he does like a pretty good job. And then he has a whole Epstein series on there that's really, really good. So I'd recommend that show to anybody. It's been going for a long time. It's kind of like, if anybody's familiar with hardcore history, there are these really long episodes, and I think he only does a couple of them a year. He's been going since 2015, and there's like 30 episodes. So the first two are about the Israel-Palestine debacle, So I listened to the first part of that. I'm gonna get into the second part. So yeah, it's heavy stuff. So well,
I just went back and checked out the documentary I told you that I watched about Ukraine, and it was the Oliver Stone.
Yeah, Ukraine on Fire, right? Is that what it's
Yeah,
called? Yeah.
yeah. And I kept, you know, I tuned in. It was on TV, and I tuned in, you know, midway or, you know, not at the beginning. And I kept seeing Oliver Stone going, that guy is, who is that guy?
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
Yeah.
And then when you said Oliver Stone, I went, oh, yeah, that was what I watched. Yeah.
Yeah,
So I went
that's
back and watched it so I could see it from the beginning.
a really where did you find it? Is it on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay, for free.
3.99.
Okay,
And then
Ukraine.
there's a part two
Yeah.
that you can buy for 4.99. I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay, yeah, it's called Ukraine on Fire, guys, and it'll give
Yeah.
you the
A
it'll
really
set
good
you up
history.
into the how far back in history does it go?
Not sure how far back it went. It stayed pretty present.
From the 2014 coup.
But and then I went back and did just a little research on my own. And I mean, Ukraine's been from the
Yeah.
get-go.
Yeah.
I mean, they got their independence in 1991.
Yeah. Yeah, 'cause that was when the wall came down. That's when communism ended. Yeah, I worked with when I first got to, there's a lot of Russians, you know, Slavic people in Portland, and especially Southeast Portland. When I first got here, the first mechanic that I worked with was a young Ukrainian guy who came here, you know, right after that when he was a little kid. And his dad had been like an engineer. They were devoutly religious. I think they were Pentecostal Christians. Really devout family. There's like 14 kids in it. They're all in the Elevator Constructors Union. But I think he might have been like the middle child. Like most of his brothers were born here, but he lived like a life till he was like 10 or something there. And his dad was like a mechanical engineer, and at like some point was being paid with like rice. His mom would have to like spread out the rice on the table and pick out like the stuff with like voles in it. It's crazy. But they were, I don't know if they were from the Donbass region, but they were ethnically Russian. They considered themselves Russian, even though they were Ukrainian. So it'd be interesting to know what they think about all this nonsense that's going on. But it's, you know, it's watching that. I'm proud of you for going out and finding that. I'm glad you found that. That's because that's the good one. Because Netflix had a documentary. It was something about it might have been named after the color that they use. Because remember, they do all those color revolution
Yeah,
things.
the Orange Revolution
Yeah,
and
but it was like that one was pure propaganda, like saying that, you know, the people that were overthrowing the government were Ukrainian freedom fighters and all this stuff like that. So,
the little soundbite that you sent me, Newland,
Oh, Victoria Nuland, yeah.
she
Fuck the EU.
that was in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a that's if you guys don't know about that, they talk about that on No Agenda all the time, but it's Victoria Nuland and I forget the guy's name, Powell. I forget who. It's the ambassador to Ukraine, I think. And
Yes, and she's the
they're talking about Yatsenyuk and Vladimir Klitschko, who was a famous heavyweight, fantastic heavyweight boxer for a long time. Him and his brother were heavyweight champions, both of them, just forever. They were around for 20 years, you know, Vladimir Klitschko and Vitali Klitschko. And so they're talking about who is going to be the new head of the government. And they're talking about Yats for Yatsenyuk and Klitsch. And like, she says, Klitsch, we don't need him. Yats is our guy. So they're just talking about it. And then at one point, I forget what it's in reference to, but she just says, like, fuck the
Fuck the
EU.
EU.
Yeah. And so yeah, I mean, and then when that got leaked and like people started asking questions about it, you know what happened, Deborah? The narrative became like, why are you? Why, you know, this was a private conversation, like this doesn't, you know, just more. pandering and saying like you're not smart enough to understand what's going on, and it's just really insulting. And that lady's, you know, still kicking around. You know, they're just these people that never get elected to anything. This whole class of, yeah. And then in the Martyr Maid, when he's talking to, in the Epstein episodes, when he's talking about the Podesta brothers, just like this, there's just this class of people that are just there. You know, they're always there, but nobody ever had any say in putting them in power. They're just there, you know. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the episode that the guy did about Pizzagate is really good with and he gets into it in the Epstein episodes, and then he just did an episode with Pete Quinones, future guest, on the books. Pretty excited and nervous about that one. But yeah, I mean, the thing about Pizzagate is that they'll say they just switch the narratives. It's debunked. You know, that's the what you say if you bring that up, because people, they made up this huge big story of what wasn't true, and this guy that went in and shot the server and shot, like, tried to go find the basement, and that was all, in my opinion, planned out. And but Pizzagate is a giant umbrella term for like just the whole fact that there's this child trafficking ring and all this weird stuff that goes on that, you know, can't be explained away. So it's good to hear it from him, because he's not a tinfoil hat kind of guy. You know, he is a well-researched dude who knows his stuff. And he at this one point, he just has like 30 things that are like, you know, coincidences that all happened. And it's be like, okay, one of those, that's a coincidence, but all these things in a row.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at one point he brings up the case that like Bill Barr, Attorney General Bill Barr, his father, William Barr, was the headmaster of the Dalton School in New York City that hired Jeffrey Epstein to be the math teacher when he was 20.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And
it's just so insidious.
He wrote, William Barr wrote, was into writing sci-fi pulp novels, and he wrote one called Space Relations, and it's just about like trafficking and sexually assaulting teenagers through space. And like, and then William Barr hires Jeffrey Epstein, a 20-year-old college dropout, to be the math teacher at this really exclusive school for the America's most elite in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, it's the school where you go if, and then later become a CIA agent, you know, and then later on, like, Bill Barr, you know, has a hand in handing down, you know, this license to Jeffrey Epstein. It's just, it's so insidious and crazy and all related. And I really, I'm really into that guy's podcast, so I really recommend people check it out. I'm really into 19th and 20th century history right now, and looking back and drawing parallels from the past, you know, 200 years, and how it's replaying exactly right now. Weimar Republic is what we're going to get into soon, and that one's quite obvious to me. So
yeah, I'm going to have to do a little research on that, because I'm really not all that up on it.
Yeah, I'll try to find some stuff that's honest, and we can look into it a little bit before. But yeah, we had a couple other news stories. We're going to talk about the guy coming into Paul Pelosi's back door and hammering him through the back door.
And people are saying that, you know, it's funny that he broke, the window was broken from the inside.
There's 30, you know, you don't, I think I know what house it is. It's that brick house that's like built into the hill over there, right?
It's like around Jackson, and
it's not the kind of neighborhood where you can just go open somebody's back door.
No, I mean,
I'm not trying to be funny. You can't just open Paul Pelosi's back door and enter.
Yeah.
You know,
if He's got to have
You
alarms.
can't just go into Paul Pelosi's back door and hammer him.
What happened to the alarms?
Yeah, it's we're like well past an hour, Deborah.
Okay.
We don't have to get into that this time.
All right.
My reading of the Atlantic article took longer than I expected, but this is a lot of fun. It'd be fun to each bring a couple headlines every week and do this. I think it'd be good.
Okay.
Because this is kind of what I wanted to do on our upcoming live show on Free World FM, which is launching soon, I promise.
All right.
Okay, any final parting words?
Hang in there.
Yeah, it's, truth is stranger than fiction these days, guys. So thanks, everybody, for checking back in with us. Sorry about the lack of content. We're going to get back on track here. And send us some emails. Give us some feedback on this episode in particular, whether you like it, whether you want to hear stuff like this in the future. We're going to keep doing it. But thanks, Deborah. I love you very much. I like these solo episodes where we don't have anything planned. We can just bring headlines and just read them and talk them through too. So but this is fun stuff. I think people like it when we do this. So we'll see how it goes.
Good.
Over and out, Deborah. I love you. I will see you in person soon. All right.
See you soon.
Bye,
guys. Alrighty.
See ya.
Bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people, all those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.